Chapter 2.
We are alone right now, Ben.
Zarya, the one with the zigzag pattern on her scales, reminded me.
So, you're saying if one of us made the move...
I wouldn't stop you. I winked. I wouldn't even think about stopping you. Well, actually, I might suggest we find someplace more private. As much fun as sex on the beach is, there are going to be people coming back here at any second.
Okay.
Darya shrugged.
You want a more private spot? Zarya and I have just the place. Follow me.
The golden-haired twin turned away and began to head off down the beach, in the opposite direction of where we'd just killed all the pufferwaddles. She only got about 20 feet away before she stopped, sunk her spear into the ground, and looked back over her shoulder. Is this really happening? I laughed and then looked at Zarya.
You'll have to follow us and find out,
the second twin giggled. Then Zarya sauntered over to her sister and locked arms with her, and the pair continued on down the shoreline. I quickly pinched myself to make sure I wasn't dreaming. Maybe I really had been stung by one of those pufferwaddles, and I was hallucinating this whole thing. There were two beautiful dragonkin twins who were flirting with me at the moment, who wanted to whisk me away to some sort of special spot after they'd just been asking why I hadn't impregnated them yet. If this was real, then Oshun truly was blessing me today. I wasted no time in following the women, and my eyes flitted back and forth between their sashaying hips, their plump, curvy asses, and their toned, mocha-colored legs as they walked. We continued on down the beach for nearly 20 minutes before Darya turned her head and looked up to the tree line.
There.
She smiled and pointed.
I can see the carvings we made in the tree when we were kids.
Darya and Zarya changed the trajectory so they were walking up toward the jungle, and I continued to follow them. Eventually, we came to the foot of a large tree, nearly 10 feet wide, and what must have been 150 feet tall. Its bark was old and weathered, which told me it had been around for quite some time. And sure enough, all along the trunk of the plant were markings and words written in the dragonkin's native tongue. In addition to the scribbles, there was also a series of notches that moved up the tree and appeared to just be deep enough to fit a hand or a foot inside. Zarya was the first to start climbing as she took a few steps back and then rushed forward. Once she was close to the trunk, she sprang up into the air, caught herself on one of the notches, and then began to ascend. Darya was right behind her, and she looked back at me teasingly as she hung there on the trunk.
Try to keep up,
the warrior winked. The two twins began up the tree, so I followed their example. I took a running start straight at the tree. Then, when I was only a few feet away, I leapt up into the air and threw out my hands. My right hand hit nothing but hard wood, but my left slid right into one of the notches. Once I had a firm grasp, I felt around with my right hand until I found a second notch. Then I found two footholds, took a deep breath, and started to climb. Now that I was looking upward, I could see the tree was even taller than I had originally thought. The canopy was way up above, and it swayed back and forth in the soft, oceanside breeze. What caught my attention, however, was the structure that jutted out about halfway up the trunk. Was that... a treehouse. The three of us continued our ascent until, sure enough, we came to a small building nestled across the branches of the tree. It was only about 15 feet wide by 15 feet deep, and it looked like it had been pieced together by a combination of branches, palm fronds, and driftwood. Its appearance was somewhat rough and ragged, which indicated to me it had been there for quite some time. I watched the twins climb inside through the small opening in the side, and then I followed them in. The inside of the treehouse wasn't much different than the outside. It had the same sort of thrown-together aesthetic, and it looked like it had seen better days. There were two small straw and fabric beds on either side of the room, and a grass carpet right in the middle. What is this place? I pondered aloud.
Our own private getaway?
Darya explained with a smile.
Our father helped us build it years ago when we were just children. Sometimes the storms damage it, but we always make sure to build it up again. It was always our little secret,
Zarya added, as she ran her hand longingly against the wall.
We never told anyone else about this place, not even Queen Nerissa. Our father didn't either. He took this location with him to the grave. Whenever we have some free time and just want to get away for a while, we come here.
Darya admitted.
It's secluded, quiet, and it has the best view of any place on the island, in my opinion.
Darya shuffled over to a small window on the same side as the doorway, and then motioned for me to come look. I walked over to Darya, peeked out through the hole in the treehouse, and then gasped. Before me was the ocean, beautiful and completely clear. From this vantage point, I could literally see out to sea for miles, and there was nothing but the crashing blue waves. There were a few misty clouds in the light blue sky, but otherwise there was nothing. It was peaceful. It was beautiful. I felt the awe of nature at its fullest, and in this moment I could see why the twins had kept this a secret from everybody else. I wouldn't want to share this either. Yet they'd shared it with me. Why are you showing me this?
It's the only place on the island that's still private to us,
Zarya admitted.
And we need our privacy right now.
Suddenly, my mind began to race with several dirty thoughts, and I couldn't help but grin like a fool as I turned back around. Oh? I raised an eyebrow at Darya. What do we need privacy for?
Don't be a fool, Draco X. I'm tired of waiting in line for you to impregnate me. I believe my sister is, too.
There's not a line. I shook my head. Like I said,
It does not matter.
The golden-scaled dragonkin interrupted.
What matters is you're here, and we want your seed.
Well, I'm never going to turn down that offer. So, how do you want to do this? Does Arya want to go wait at the bottom of the tree while we do it, or does she want to go first? Or does it matter?
What are you talking about?
Zarya purred as she plopped down onto one of the mattresses.
We don't have the time to go one by one.
Somehow, my dick grew even harder. Darya strutted over to the same bed, sat down 2 feet away from her sister, and then patted the empty spot in between them.
We'll have to share you,
the golden-haired beauty explained. Share me? Won't that be strange for you? Your sisters, after all.
And?
Zarya scoffed.
We both need your seed in our rooms. We are tired of waiting to breed with you. We don't mind sharing. Just please fill us up equally with your dragon sperm.
Holy fuck. I really was hallucinating. Not only did two hot dragonkin women want me, but they wanted me at the same time. And they were twins. If this was a hallucination, then I honestly didn't want to ever come out of it. I walked over to the mattress, sat down between the twins, and looked back and forth between them. I then wrapped my arms around their fit waists and pulled them closer so their bodies were right up next to mine.
Wow,
Darya whistled when she looked down at the bulge inside my pants.
Is that all you?
It's all me, I winked. Want to see?
Yes,
the dragonkin warrior purred. The next thing I knew, Darya leaned in and placed her soft, supple lips firmly against mine. Her kiss was sweet like honey, and soon I allowed my tongue to slip into her mouth as I reached up and ran my fingers through her hair. As Darya and I made out, Zarya leaned over and tenderly pecked on my neck. At the same time, her hands wandered down below my belt, and soon her fingers brushed past my bulge. However, she didn't rub it or reach into my waistband. All she wanted to do was get me going. I let out a moan of satisfaction as Zarya's fingers teased me. I could already feel the pre-cum oozing out of my throbbing cock, and I knew I'd be able to fill both of these women up with my seed. Darya and I continued to kiss as our hands explored each other's bodies. Then Zarya suddenly pulled away before she slid off the bed, got down onto her knees, and grabbed the top of my pants. With one slow, soft pull, Zarya disrobed me, and my dick stood at full mast before her face.
The gods truly shine on us today, sister,
Zarya cooed.
Look at the size of our king's spear.
Darya pulled away from my kiss and glanced down at my erection, and then her eyes went wide.
That's a large weapon.
Then it's a good thing there's two of you. I smirked. Plenty to go around. Darya must have liked my comment, because she let out a soft moan as she pulled away from me completely. Then the beautiful woman reached down to the bottom of her halter top and raised it up gently over the top of her head. As she did so, both of her perky C-cup breasts plopped down gently and danced back and forth. Her nipples were a soft brown and pointed, and they were fully erect as they fell free from their entrapment. The Dragonkin warrior's tummy was flat and toned, and there were the beginnings of six-pack abs just underneath her mocha-toned belly button. Finally, Daria tossed her shirt off to the side and then slid down to join her sister. Meanwhile, Zarya mirrored Daria's actions as she yanked off her shirt, threw it onto the ground, and revealed herself to me. Her breasts were nearly identical to Daria's, and for a brief second I could barely tell the two apart. Holy shit. I whistled as I looked down at the two women marveling at my cock. You two are so fucking hot. My words must have encouraged the twins, because Daria instantly wrapped her hand around my cock. She licked her lips before she leaned in and gave the tip a soft kiss, but then she looked up at me with a devilish grin.
You try it first,
she told her sister. Daria moved my dick toward Zarya's mouth, and the second twin let out a gasp.
I don't think I can take all that in. Oh, you don't have to. Just do what you can and I'll lick and suck on the rest.
Oh, fuck. I really liked the sound of that. Zarya looked nervous as she bent down, opened her mouth wide, and slid my cock inside. Her mouth was warm and wet, and her lips felt like velvet against my manhood. Then Zarya let out a soft gag as she forced herself down my erection, but she was only able to get down about halfway. That was where Daria took over. While my dick was still inside her sister's mouth, Daria began to stroke me softly from the bottom up. Oh, fuck. I leaned my head back and moaned.
There you go,
Daria whispered.
You suck. I'll stroke.
Zarya's bright green eyes stared up at me as she began to move her mouth up and down on my erection, and at the same time, Daria's hand moved in the opposite direction. The two women worked in unison until they eventually reached a rhythm where Zarya's mouth and Daria's hands would meet at the halfway point of my cock before moving in opposite directions. The sensation was intense, and I could already feel my balls tightening up as the warm coil in my abdomen built toward a crescendo. The next thing I knew, Daria's hand moved down and rubbed across my tight balls softly.
I think he needs more, sister. Let me help you.
Without removing her hand from my testicles, Daria opened up her mouth and let her tongue flop out. Then she moved her head down to the shaft of my dick, placed her tongue against it, and started to make circles around the shaft. Zarya changed her pattern in response. Soon, the first twin let my dick fall away from her lips, and she placed her tongue against the opposite side of my shaft. I watched in awe as each twin took one edge of my cock with their tongue. They both ran their slick muscles back and forth slowly, and they only stopped occasionally to give my balls a soft suck or to lick a bit of pre-cum from my head. This was fucking heaven on earth. It couldn't get any better than this. Or so I thought, before the twins started to take turns sucking me off. Daria would let my cock slide into her mouth, and then she would give it a few gulps before she pulled back and let her sister take over the reins. They alternated back and forth for nearly 10 minutes, and the swelling of pressure in my abdomen made it feel like I was about to unload a massive blast of my love all over them. Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore. Oh, shit! I think I'm about to... Oh! Daria was on my cock, and she quickly let it slide out from her mouth when I alerted her. A volcano of my seed erupted from my dick as I came, and both of the twins watched in awe as it splurted out and fell down onto their faces, chests, and arms. Finally, when all was said and done, I let out a sigh and leaned back on the mattress.
Oops.
Zarya giggled.
I think we may have teased him too much. His sperm doesn't do much good out here. It needs to be deep inside of us. Oh, it's fine.
Daria mused as she wiped herself clean with her hand.
I'm sure we can convince him to give us more. More? How could there possibly be more?
Oh, there is, I said, as I looked up at the beautiful topless women. I just need to recharge for a minute or two first, and then I'll give you all of that and then some.
Really?
Zarya's eyes lit up at the prospect.
That sounds incredible. What can we do to help you recharge?
Get on the bed, I ordered, as I stood from the mattress. I want to return the favor. I yanked off my shirt as the two women finished cleaning themselves off, and then they followed my command. The second they were prone on the mattress, I got down onto my knees and slid Daria's pants off her body. Her pussy was already dripping wet, so much so that the small tuft of hair on her mound was moist with excitement. I pressed my lips against Daria's inner thigh, kissed it softly, and then let my tongue slide out of my mouth. Next, I ran it up her thigh until I got to her womanhood, which I circled gently. Daria gasped when my tongue found her clitoris.
Oh, please don't tease me like that.
Fine, I growled as I looked up at her naked figure. I won't. Then I buried my face into Daria's delicate flower, and she gasped as my tongue ran wildly against her climactic button. But her surprise quickly turned into pleasure.
Draco Rex!
Daria's thighs tightened around my head as I lapped up her sweet juices, and she arched her back as she tensed up. I didn't want Zarya to feel out of the mix, so I reached over and slowly ran my hand up her thigh. Eventually, my fingers found the entrance to her velvet tunnel, so I slipped two of them inside. Zarya's pussy was just as wet as her sister's, and she instantly let out a soft moan as I started to finger her. I did double time as I pleasured both of the women, and it didn't take long before Daria was on the brink of a climax. Her moans grew hurried and weaker, and her entire body was wound up tight as a spring. Then, when I made another pass at her clit, she turned to jello on the bed.
Oh, God, Ben! Oh!
Daria's thighs wrapped around the back of my head as she forced me harder onto her pussy, and she unleashed a moan that probably could have been heard from across the island. Finally, the golden-haired woman came down from her high and released her death grip on my head, but as I pulled my face away from her sopping wet pussy, I knew my work wasn't done. Your turn, I winked at Zarya. The second twin bit her lip as I scooted over so I was in front of her. I tugged her pants down around her ankles and then marveled in the presence of her tender slit. Zarya's pussy was completely smooth, and a bit of her love juices were pooling on the mattress as I admired it. So I spread open Zarya's long legs, leaned in, and began to lick her softly. I started off slow, but she didn't seem to be responding much at first. When I began to make patterns with my tongue, though, that was when Zarya went wild.
Keep doing that!
The dragonkin warrior begged as she shuddered in my grasp.
God! Oh, keep doing that!
Who was I to tell a lady no? I increased the pace of my tongue to the point where the muscles were starting to get tired, but I endured. I had a woman to pleasure, and I sure as fuck wasn't going to stop until she'd reached her mountaintop. Thankfully, that didn't take long.
Ben! Oh, yes!
Zarya's right hand slapped onto the back of my head and took a fistful of my hair in its grasp. And she rubbed her fingers through my scalp as she moaned, groaned, and whimpered, until her entire body went entirely still. Then Zarya arched her back like she'd been electrocuted by a live wire, opened up her mouth, and let out an eardrum-shattering moan as she came against my face. Once her orgasm was done, I pulled away and then looked back and forth between the two beautiful naked twins. How was it? I winked. Both of the girls were panting with exhaustion, but their faces told another story. They had mile-wide smiles stretched across their lips, and their eyes were full of light.
Oh, incredible,
Daria gasped.
But there's still one major problem. You haven't filled us up with your seed yet. Yeah?
Zarya purred.
We want your babies growing inside of us, Ben.
I pointed down at my erection, which was once again at full mast. I think I'm ready.
Well, just in case you need some extra motivation,
Daria purred.
Here.
Daria turned to her twin sister, placed her hand softly against Zarya's cheek, and then kissed her gently. She started with a simple peck, but then the two women began to make out like long-lost lovers. They ran their hands along each other's naked bodies as they kissed, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Holy shit. If I wasn't at full mast before, I definitely was now. Daria and Zarya's kissing grew more passionate, until eventually Zarya fell over on top of her sister. Their bodies intermingled as they laid on the mattress, and Zarya's tight, fit ass was up in the air, practically begging me to come and fuck her from behind. So that's exactly what I did. I moved up onto the bed, grabbed a handful of Zarya's ass, and then slowly guided myself into her from behind. The dragonkin woman let out a gasp as my cock slid into her tight tunnel, but then she went right back to pleasuring her sister. Zarya's pussy was like a monsoon, so I had no problems gliding in and out of her velvet tunnel. Her pussy was awfully tight, though, and I had to go slow to keep myself from overwhelming her. Finally, when I felt my cock bottom out against her cervix, I felt a shot of pure ecstasy rocket through my body. Holy shit, you're so tight, I moaned into her ear as I leaned forward. Zarya responded with a soft groan, but she didn't turn away from Daria, so I got to work. I slid myself all the way out of Zarya's womanhood and then pushed myself back inside. I repeated this action about 10 times, and her whole body trembled each time I did it. Zarya's pussy also spasmed around my cock with each movement I made, which only got me all the more excited. Eventually, I began to increase my pace until I was thrusting in and out of Zarya with the force of a hurricane and the speed of a cheetah.
Oh, God!
The dragonkin warrior whimpered as I fucked her hard. Her tight ass jiggled with each rhythmic thrust, and soon I felt myself building toward a climax. The muscles in my legs and lower body were on fire, but I wasn't going to let up until I gave Zarya what she wanted. She wanted my seed, and I was going to give her all of that and then some. Finally, the golden-haired woman's body tensed, and she unleashed a few hurried moans as her pussy gripped me like a vice. Then Zarya screamed excitedly as she came, and the sounds of her pleasure sent me over the edge. Fuck! I grabbed Zarya around the waist, pulled her all the way back onto me, and then unloaded what felt like a gallon of my seed into her womb.
Fill me up with your seed. Bless me with your child.
She quivered as she accepted my love, and I watched as a bit of it oozed out of her when I pulled out. How was that? I grinned as Zarya collapsed on top of her sister.
I'm not sure if I'll be able to walk anytime soon.
Daria, on the other hand, was eager to go another round. She rolled out from underneath her sister, got up onto her feet, and then looked me up and down.
Don't I get some, too?
She asked with sad eyes. Of course you do, I reassured the beautiful woman. But, I'm not sure if I can physically move my legs at the moment.
You don't have to,
Daria promised. The golden-scaled warrior strutted over to my position, threw her knees up onto the mattress, and straddled my cock. Then she placed her soft hand against my bare chest, gave me a gentle push, and giggled as I fell back onto the mattress. I like where this is going.
Good. Now just relax like a Rex and let me take care of you.
Daria then used her tongue to lick me clean, and the sensation of her warm tongue against my already sensitive dick made me erect instantly. Once I was hard, the dragonkin twin gave my cock a gentle kiss and got back up onto her knees. She waddled over so her pussy was right above my erection, and then she slowly lowered herself down onto me. Oh, fuck, I gasped. Daria's pussy was tighter than a balloon's opening, and waves of pleasure rocked my body to its core. The dragonkin woman's mouth fell open in awe as she continued to take me in. But all that exited her was a feeble squeak. Then she placed one hand against my abs as she braced herself, leaned into it, and then started to move her lower half up and down on my dick.
Oh, you feel so big, Dracorex.
Daria moaned as she threw her head back.
It feels like you're splitting me in half.
Her breasts were smashed together by her arms as she bounced against my cock, and I couldn't take my eyes off of them. The golden-scaled warrior's nipples were fully erect, and each of her supple breasts jiggled with the motions that she made. What really set me off, though, was when Zarya got back into the fray. She just appeared behind her sister, where she promptly began to nibble on Darya's neck. Darya responded with a soft moan, and I felt her pussy tighten around me. Ugh, damn, this was fucking hot. Zarya's right hand slowly wandered downward until it reached her sister's clitoris, and then the dragonkin warrior began to flick her fingers back and forth across Darya's magic button. The second pair of hands only seemed to push Darya closer to the edge, and she started to unleash moan after groan after intense moan. Then Darya switched positions. She pulled her hands off my torso, reached back so her hands were around Zarya's ass, and then continued to fuck me hard. Darya's tight, throbbing tunnel grinded against my dick in a sensual rhythm, until finally her body tensed up.
Oh, oh Ben, I think I'm about to oh.
Darya's pussy trembled as she orgasmed, and I felt the warm coil in my stomach snap. Oh, fuck yes! My entire body tensed up as I unloaded my seed inside of Darya, and that just seemed to set her off again.
Oh, thank you.
She gasped as she ground her now sopping pussy against my pelvis.
Thank you for blessing me with your seed, Dracolex. I hope to bear you strong children.
Then, once we had both come down from our orgasms, both of the golden-scaled women collapsed into a heap on top of me. Darya rolled over to my left side while Zarya rolled to my right. I instinctively put my arms around both of them, pulled them in close, and then gave them each a soft kiss on their foreheads. Well, was it everything you'd ever hoped for and more?
No.
Darya stated matter-of-factly.
It was even better.
That's what I like to hear. The three of us laid in bed for a full hour, and we cuddled close as we listened to the relaxing sounds of the blowing wind. The twins were definitely right. This was easily one of the most relaxing places on the entire island. And no, that wasn't just because I'd fucked two hot twins. We lingered together for another hour or so, and we went another round so I could fill each of them up again with my seed. Then we cuddled for a bit before deciding it was time to head back. As much as I'd love to just stay in bed forever, we should get back to the castle. I'm sure Hallie's meal is just about done, and I definitely don't want to miss out on my daughter's birthday celebration.
I agree.
Zarya chuckled.
If your seed takes and we both bear you children, we wouldn't want you to miss their celebrations either.
I'm going to need to start carrying around a planner or something, because pretty soon I'm going to be having a child's birthday every single day of the month.
I don't think there are that many women on the island.
Darya mused.
That would mean you'd have to impregnate. How many days did you say were in your calendar?
365. But who knows if this world has the same number? Though if we keep finding tribes of different women, I could very easily get to that number eventually.
If you make love to them anything like you did to us, word will spread quickly and they'll be lining up for their turn with you.
Darya purred. That's the idea. I winked as I sat up and rolled out of bed. Then I wandered over to my clothes, pulled them back onto my body, and fastened my belt back over my waist. The twins followed my lead as they also got up out of bed, slid their clothes back on, and then headed to the door. All three of us climbed down the side of the tree once more, and once we were back on solid ground again, we began our trek back to the castle. As we passed by the beach where we'd slain all the pufferwaddles, I noticed most of the bodies were gone now. And what few remained were thrown back into the ocean where they floated, rotting and bloated on the surface. Say what you will about your dragonkin homemakers. They're really, really efficient when it comes to cleaning up our messes.
I won't argue with that.
Zarya shook her head. We found the paved path I'd created way back in the day, and then we followed it through the jungle until we eventually came to our castle. We went into the fortress and then meandered about until we eventually got to the kitchen. You two go ahead to the courtyard. I'm going to check in on Holly and see how she's doing.
And ruin the surprise of her banquet.
Darya chuckled.
I'll suit yourself.
The dragonkin twins were all smiles as they continued on, and their giggles could be heard from all the way down the hall. Yeah, everybody on the island was going to know what we had just been doing. I peeked my head into the threshold of the kitchen and saw Holly working furiously over a chopping block. So I slid into the room and approached the cook, slowly. "What are you working on there, Holly?" I asked the red-haired dragonkin woman softly. Holly's entire body jerked to attention as she slammed her knife into the table with force. The woman then turned around, and her sea-green eyes were the size of saucers.
Oh, it's you!
Hallie sighed and put her hand on her chest.
Oh, you scared the daylights out of me, Ben!
Sorry, I just wanted to stop in and see what you were doing. I feel like we haven't talked face to face in a while.
Oh, that's because we haven't.
Hallie wiped her hands off on a makeshift rag.
You've been off gallivanting on the seas, and I've been prepping more and more foods than I can keep up with. Life's been really busy lately, but I guess that's better than the alternative.
That should be a good thing, though, right? If you're super swamped in regards to how much food we're bringing in, that means our harvests have been way more bountiful.
And our people are becoming much stronger hunters. In fact, the feast I'm preparing is made up entirely of items the Nyarlathotep women hunted themselves.
No shit.
I know.
Ellie clapped her hands together in front of her face.
They've come a long way since you first brought them to this island. Now I swear they could take out a fruit fly with their arrows.
That's good to hear. I smiled at the cook. That just means we're working together in harmony as one people and not a bunch of different races. What exactly are you planning on making, anyways? A sly grin spread up Holly's face, and the green-scaled woman shook her head.
You may be the king around here, Ben, but you're going to have to wait and see just like everyone else.
You can't blame a guy for trying. I shrugged as I began to back out through the door. I'll see you out there, all right?
Sure thing, like Rex.
Hallie grinned.
I just hope you like the creative liberties I took with this recipe.
Hallie might not have had much confidence in her own craft, but I knew from experience anything her hands graced turned out to be fucking delicious. Hell, I swore up and down Hallie could make even a piece of raw wheat into a delicacy of some sort, given enough time. It'll be great, I reassured the cook. I can't wait to see what that brilliant mind of yours has cooked up.
Oh, stop it.
The cook giggled as a soft blush crept across her face, and she looked down bashfully.
Get out of here, Ben.
I shot Hallie one last thumbs up before I slipped back out into the hallway. Then I made my way through the corridors of the castle until I came out into the courtyard. Here, I saw every single inhabitant of this island, with the exception of the cooking and catering staff. Everyone was clustered together in groups in different parts of the sandy landscape, but one thing caught my attention and made me swell with pride. Everybody was intermingled. Morpho women sat with Kunag, who themselves sat with Dragonkin and Nyarlathotep women. Pregnant women sat with not-yet-pregnant women, and my children were spread out across the courtyard as they chatted up women of all kinds. The only part of the courtyard cut off from the rest of the people were the high tables, the spot where the royal family was supposed to sit. Nerissa was already at the high table, with our daughter, Mir, nestled tightly in her arms. And as I approached the pair, my newborn daughter let out a squeal of glee. Hey, baby girl, I said as I tickled Mir's tummy. Are you ready for your big day?
I think so,
Nerissa noted.
She's already had a long nap, and I nursed her just about an hour ago. Hopefully, she will get through this ceremony without much fussing.
She? I winked at my beloved. Or you?
Oh, very funny.
The silver-haired queen rolled her eyes.
Though I will admit, after Eric's two-cycle ceremony, I considered not doing it for my next child.
Well, that's because it was Eric. Even when he was just a wee little lad, he was causing trouble. I don't think we'll have the same issues with Mir.
You say that now,
Nerissa reminded me.
But remember, she still has many of your traits in her.
What's that supposed to mean? If anyone's heritage will make her a problem child, it'll be yours.
Ugh, please. I was a perfect child, ask Jonas.
I might just take you up on that offer. I promised my lover. Speaking of which, you look awfully lonely up here. Where are Eric and Jonas?
Eric is over with Malky and Sarin.
Nerissa pointed to the back of the courtyard.
And Malky and Serena with George and Nixie, I believe. As for Jonas, I'm not sure. He's probably out meditating somewhere.
I'm surprised our son is not bragging about all the cool stuff he saw on our last adventure. Those two islands probably gave him enough stories to tell for the next 10 years.
He's probably already told them all. I know he's been talking everybody's ears off lately. Now come, my love. Take your seat next to your queen and the Draco Regine.
Oh, that sounds fancy, I admitted, as I walked over and pulled out the chair. Dragon princess, right?
Correct.
Nerissa nodded.
Even though Eric will rule over these lands in the future, Mir will be his right-hand woman. She will act as his consul as well as his moral compass, and together they will bring our people to a level of prosperity neither of us could ever achieve.
Let's hope so. And let's hope all of my royal children will do the same for their peoples.
They will.
Nerissa smiled at me warmly.
If they are anything like their father, they will be some of the most caring, brave, and loyal beings to ever walk this world. They will be able to do great things, Ben. Things we cannot even fathom. I believe... Uh-huh.
Mira declared, as she walked up in front of the high tables.
I knew my sister still had a soft side deep down underneath all of that stern, no-nonsense crap.
Instantly, Nerissa's smile faded into a neutral thin line, and she raised an eyebrow at her sister.
Whatever do you mean, Mira?
The queen inquired.
I was simply telling the Draco Rex that his children will be powerful and strong leaders, which is an objective fact. Nah.
Mira waved her hand.
I very specifically heard you say caring, brave, and loyal. It's okay, though. I won't tell anyone about your softer side. What do you want, Mira?
Nerissa grumbled.
I was just coming over to give you an update.
The green-haired dragonkin warrior explained.
So, you know how you sent us out to gather up those puffer waddle spines. Well, Olara had an idea about how to use them. She said that if we squeeze the venom out into a bowl, we can dip our arrowheads into it, which will make them even more deadly.
That's not a bad idea. But aren't our arrowheads made out of stone and sea glass? The venom would just run right off.
With those it would. However, remember how you had us save the legs of the parasites on the Sanshula?
I do. I nodded, though I wasn't sure where she was going with this.
That material is very lightweight and very porous,
the warrior woman said, as she brushed a piece of hair out of her face. So it'll absorb all the poison and then deposit it into our enemy's flesh. I grinned as the epiphany hit. Huh, that's brilliant.
Olara thought you'd like it,
Mira noted.
Gemma was pretty excited about the idea, too. She was saying she can't wait to test it out on our next adventure.
Next adventure? I can't believe Gemma still thinks she's going out to sea with us. Our baby could be coming at any moment now, and I'd much rather have her here, in the hands of our best healers, than out on the battlefield when it happens.
Oh, you can be the one to tell her, then.
Mira threw up her hands and laughed.
Because she's definitely not going to like hearing that.
As Mira walked away, I tried to find Gemma in the crowd of people, and I spotted the auburn-haired Nerilope woman near the eastern perimeter, where she sat at a table with Ainsley, Trin, Talise, Lizanne, and Awara. Both Ainsley and Gemma were very far along in their pregnancies, and their bellies had swelled out to the point where I wasn't even sure if they could bend over anymore. It shouldn't have been surprising. As a race, the Nerilope people were very tall, the men allegedly more so than the women. So it only stood to reason a Nerilope child would take up way more room in the womb than a human, dragonkin, or kunag child. As much as I loved Gemma's companionship on my journeys, and how much I relied on her for reconnaissance and her marksmanship skills, this was something I wasn't going to budge on. Our child was almost here, and that meant all sorts of potential issues for Gemma. Her baby bump offered a major vulnerability for our enemies to exploit, and it would severely limit her mobility when we were trying to travel through harsh terrain. Not to mention, all of our adventures were full of peril and danger, and it would be irresponsible to put my unborn son at risk.
Are you sure you want to tell her?
Nerissa chuckled, as if she had read my thoughts.
I could always have one of our children inform her. That might soften the blow a bit.
No, I shook my head. I'm her king and her baby daddy, so I should be the one to let her know. I slowly stood up from my place, gave Nerissa a parting kiss on the forehead, and then made my way across the courtyard toward the Nerilope women. As I drew closer, the women at the table all stopped their chattering and looked at me with excitement in their eyes.
Looks like we're being joined by a guest of honor, friends.
Ainsley grinned. Only the best guest for the best ladies in the world. I winked at the table, and they giggled in response. There were a few empty chairs at the table, so I pulled one of them out and plopped down onto the wooden seat. I then scooted myself up, clasped my hands together, and rested my chin against them as I looked around at my lovely ladies.
Shouldn't you be up at the main table?
Awara mused.
I thought that's where the royalty sat.
It is, But we don't really follow our rules very strictly around here. I'm supposed to be up there with the Dragon Queen and the rest of the royal family. But nobody's going to bat an eye if I decide to hang out here for a while. What kind of a king would I be if I didn't go around mingling with my loyal subjects?
That's definitely not what I'm used to.
Owara chuckled as she pointed across the courtyard to her own queen.
Dalwhen is all about ceremony and ritual, to the point where most of us Morpho women could recite our seating chart in our sleep.
Seating chart?
Trin snorted as she nonchalantly played with the gray bun atop her head.
Your people had a seating chart for feasts?
We had a seating chart for everything,
the orange-haired butterfly woman admitted.
Feasts, regular meals, even for when we were de-shelling nuts.
That sounds like a lot,
Ainsley noted.
You didn't make us sit in any sort of organized way when we were on your island,
Gemma reminisced.
That's because Dalwhen was still hibernating in her cocoon,
Owara continued.
I was calling the shots, and I don't believe in all that load of hopper droppings.
Well, those days are over, I promised the pixie. Here on the Dragonkin Island, we're all equals, whether we're royalty or captains or just plain old everyday citizens.
The Nirralope live by this idea too?
Ainsley agreed, as she absently stroked her full belly.
We are all equal in the eyes of the goddess Nira. So why would we simple beings of flesh and bone try to claim otherwise? What about you two?
Owara asked Lazan and Trin.
Do the Kunag people organize themselves in any particular way?
Trin and Lazan both gave each other a sideways glance, shook their heads, and then laughed.
We don't bother ourselves with that stuff,
Lazan mused.
All we Kunag care about are three things, fighting, mating, and devouring. If something doesn't directly affect one of those, then it's as useful to us as an acorn in the ocean.
Nadir is our leader,
Trin explained.
But that's just because she was the eldest of our tribe left over when the orcs killed our men.
She was also the closest in line to our royal bloodline,
Lazan added.
How is that possible?
Gemma questioned.
Didn't Jira have a son who was next in line to be the king of your people?
Jira was paired with Nadir's brother as a mate,
the multicolored Kunag explained.
Nadir's brother was the next in line for the throne, and then his next of kin was their son. Once both of them were killed in battle, it reverted back to the only one of us still alive with royal blood.
Which was Nadir. I nodded. Huh. I guess I never stopped to think about why she is your leader. I always just assumed it was because she was the smartest or fastest or best fighter of you lot.
Ha!
Lazan scoffed.
Nadir is a Kunag of many talents, but she is far from the best at anything she does.
As she spoke, the raccoon woman leaned back in her chair to emphasize her point. And when she did so, my eyes couldn't help but wander down to her swelling tummy. Lazan was already a few weeks along, and the baby inside of her was just beginning to grow. She had only the slightest of bumps, which was emphasized by her outfit. The Kunag woman with the black and white parted hair wore only a skimpy, fur-laden bikini top and bottoms, and her slightly pregnant stomach stuck out between the two pieces of attire like a pillow tucked underneath a blanket. Her breasts were just starting to swell, as well, to the point where they were threatening to pop out of their furry confinement. Owara had been pregnant for a much shorter time, so she'd yet to show any signs of the baby dwelling inside of her. Meanwhile, Ainsley and Gemma were both so large they looked like they could pop at any moment. The sight of the two pregnant Nirralopes suddenly brought me back to reality and reminded me of why I'd come over here in the first place. Gemma, there was something I wanted to talk to you about. Privately would probably be best.
Ben.
Gemma smiled at me and shook her head.
I know what this is about, and it's okay. I know you're worried about our baby. I am too. Very, very worried. So, I'll say it before you do. I'm recusing myself from our next journey, whatever that may be.
Really? You're all right with just hanging back here? I thought you wanted to travel the world by my side.
I do,
the auburn-haired beauty reassured me.
But right now, it's more important to protect our precious child. It's a dangerous world out there, Ben. If anything happened to our son, I don't know what I'd do with myself.
Me either, Which is why I was going to tell you the exact same thing.
Well, then it's a good thing I said it first.
Gemma winked.
Because I don't like being given orders.
Please, that's not what you say during...
Ben!
Kandara's spacey voice interjected suddenly.
Ben, I need to talk to you. It's pretty, pretty, pretty urgent.
I turned my head to see the golden-haired butterfly woman rushing toward me. Her eyes were narrowed with frustration, and her lips were pursed into a small frown. When she finally arrived at our table, Kandara crossed her arms over her chest and let out a deep sigh. "What's wrong?" I demanded, as my mind raced with a million negative possibilities. "Is one of the dragons sick?"
"Not that I know of,"
Kandara shrugged.
"I wanted to talk to you about the wind dragon egg we found."
"What about it? It's still safe and locked away inside my quarters, right?"
"Well..."
Kandara looked up at the sky and seemed to zone out.
"It's still safe and locked away, but that's not what I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to talk to you about the egg's incubation phase."
"Okay." I nodded, though I still wasn't sure what she was getting at.
"Ben!"
Kandara's eyes were filled with both fear and excitement as she looked back at me.
"I think the wind dragon egg is ready to hatch."